We've been talking about what is the Church of Christ and denominationalism. And last week we started a section on what does the Bible teach about true worship. I know it's not on yet. It'll get there. Quit pointing. It's not polite to point. Okay. Give me a break. Turn down my collar. Okay. All right. But anyway, we've been talking about that, and we've seen that denominationalism and the concept of denominationalism is not found in the Bible. And the word is not even there, so it doesn't talk about denominations. And yet many we know in this world are just as pleased to practice the division which we have learned that the Lord does not want us to do. And yet they're pleased to be this or that. In fact, there are thousands upon thousands of different denominations out there. And we have warned about that, and we're going to continue talking about that. Now, we could be talking about the fact of what is wrong with each of those groups, but see that we know that each group is different. They have different names, they have different doctrines, they have different practices and beliefs. And so to try and attack each one would take us a long, long time. So instead of wasting all that time, we're going to talk about what is right, what is correct. We started last week with what is true worship. And so we're going to continue to talk about what is right in the sight of God. And anything that is not in accordance with what we have to say today is wrong. It's just plain and simple. In John 12, verse 44 from our scripture reading, then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." All right, Jesus is not alone. He didn't come here only for himself. He came as a representative of God. And many will think that they make Jesus their Lord, but they will reject God by failing to keep and respect the Bible as the authority in religion. Where did the Bible come from? It came from God. What is the Bible? It is the Word of God. Who speaks this Word that we need to know? Jesus speaks this Word. And so it is His Word that we have. It's in the Bible. And yet people, for many of these denominations, they don't even use Bibles anymore. You realize that? They don't even use Bibles anymore. Occasionally, they might bring up one scripture. Sometimes, usually out of context, they might bring up one scripture or some scripture that's just kind of benign out there and just tell a whole story about that. But they don't use the Bible as authority. And what we learn is that we cannot separate Christ from God. And for they are one and the same. And you know, some people want to do that. They want to put Christ in his little box over here, put God in his box here, put their doctrine in another, and all that stuff. No, we cannot separate them. In verse 46 and 47, "I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." And the idea, the thought above where it says, does not believe, that includes those who, yes, obviously, who don't believe what Jesus had to say, which is atheist and many people in this world, but those who decide that his words don't cut it. That's all we can say about it. They have decided the words of Jesus just don't cut it. It doesn't match what they want to do. And so they change his words. They change his thoughts. We mentioned in class about the idea of what would Jesus do? And Jesus would follow popular opinion, right? Like they do today. All these denominations out there, they keep changing their doctrine to match public opinion. Well, we know that's not right because God does not change. His word does not change. So some people accept Christ, but not the conditions by which he says are necessary. Jesus told us what God wants us to do in order to be saved. Oh, you don't have to do that. Just say the sinner's prayer. That's all you got to do. Just believe. If you have a sincere heart, that's good enough. And that's what they tell us this. In a few weeks, we're going to be looking at some arguments that these people make about denominationalism, why they think it's okay. And we're going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. All right, but still, others still reject his teaching and his laws. Outrageous, they don't care what Jesus has to say. Like I said, many of them have just removed the Bible. You know, there's several of them that said, well, the Bible's obsolete. It doesn't apply to anybody anymore. It only applied to those people back in the first century. So we don't have anything to go on, so we make up our own rules. That's what they do. And some people reject Christ ignorantly. They don't realize he is God. They don't realize he is the Son of God. You realize that a lot of people you come in contact with every day do not even know that there is a God who created this earth? A lot of people you come in contact with do not even know and understand the concept of God unless they use it as a profanity. In John 12:48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." You know, in order to receive the blessings he has promised, we must conform our lives to the principles and precepts of his word. That's the only way we're going to get to heaven. That's the only way we can be saved. And when people reject his word and go away from his word and teach things other than his word, and they still think that they're going to heaven, don't they? Yeah, they think they're going to heaven. Well, there's some sad news going to come their way come judgment day. Because they won't be ready for what they're going to hear. We will be judged by the words of Jesus, which are the express spoken commandments or laws of God. In Revelation 20, when it depicts the great judgment scene, the earth has given up all the dead and everyone will be there in the great judgment hall. And everybody's going to be judged by the things they've done in their life. And it says, "And books were opened." One of those books is going to be our Bible. The words of God are going to judge us. And we won't be able to sit there and give a bunch of buts and what ifs and all this stuff and try and reason with God. No, I don't think we're going to be able to say anything except Jesus is Lord. That's the only words anybody's ever going to say from that judgment seat. God will say, "You did not," or "You did." If you did what I told you to do, enter thou in, good and faithful servant. If you didn't do what I said, depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. All right, so John 12:49-50. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus knew that everything that God said was going to be producing eternal life. And that's why he said those things. And that's why he taught those things. And that's why he commanded his disciples to teach those things. If we hear and obey his commands, then everlasting life is the result. And an everlasting life in heaven is the result. We might ought to add that in, because every soul is going to live eternally. Most of them will not be going in heaven. Most of them will be in the other place. If, on the other hand, we hear only what we want to hear and obey only the things we want to obey, then everlasting life is removed from us and we have everlasting destruction. I mean, this whole world, they love John 3:16, and practically everybody can quote John 3:16. But they ignore John 3:36. "Whoever believes in the Son hath eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son does not have life." I mean, that very simple passage, which when someone spouts off John 3:16, say, "Add John 3:36, find out what that says. Because that is so very important. Now, John 14:23-24, earlier in this later on. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Once again, Jesus is saying, it's not my word, it's God's word. And that's all we have. When we look at the Bible, those are God's words. And we need to remember that. These people can say all they want that they love the Lord, but it's not so. Oh, they love the Lord. They'll go there and go, "Oh, I love the Lord, love the Lord." Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but their deeds deny him. Whenever they turn their back on God's word and do what they want to do, they are denying their Lord. They are denying Christ. They are denying God. And whenever they do what they want to do, which is usually selfishness, they are not doing the will of God. And they're not pleasing to God. When anybody does anything they want to do rather than what they should do, they're not pleasing to God. If every denomination has their own doctrine, their own name, their own practice, and their own standard of righteousness, then all the others are different. And we know that's true. Each different denomination has their own doctrine. And what's really ironic about it, it says it doesn't matter where you go to church, right? So doctrine doesn't matter to them. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a lesson about doctrine and how doctrine doesn't matter. Next month, we're going to have a sermon on doctrine. Is doctrine really that important? The answer is yes. So we'll look forward to that. So either one of these groups is wrong, or the other is wrong, or they're both wrong. But they can't be right. If they teach anything different than what God has specified in his word, they can't be right. So speaking of the denomination, they're both wrong and they cannot be right with God. It doesn't matter. If one group wants to compare themselves with another group, say, "Well, our doctrine is better than your doctrine. We're right, you're wrong." I mean, they can't do that. They kind of deny the other people. And yet they say, "Go visit the church of your choice." Have you ever heard that? Yeah, we all have. Yeah, accept the Lord Jesus, then go join the church of your choice. No, they're teaching error, and that's wrong. Cannot be that way. They can only be right in the sight of man apart from God. That's right. They get acceptance from the rest of the denominational world, but yet they separate themselves from the word of God. And therefore, they are wrong. So this is why they turn to emotions and feelings for justification for what they believe and practice. And they're not the only ones that do it. If a Christian wants to do something and that they know is wrong, they're going to find some way to justify it in their own mind. Doesn't matter what it is. Whether they decide, "Well, I don't want to go to church," then they're going to find some way to justify that. Or, "I want to do something else." It's not that big of a deal, is it? And so that's what they do. They want to believe in practice, and they'll justify it. If a guy wants to have an affair, he'll find some way to justify it. And just whatever the sin might be, if they don't want to give it up. Some people do the gambling part. "Well, if I hit it big, I'll donate a lot of money to the church, or I'll help a lot of poor people." I mean, all they're doing is feeding their greed, is all they're doing. And they have to be honest to recognize that. Man may give approval where God has not. And that's true. Man will approve of many things. We know in our world today, he approves of many things which God outright condemns in his word. And man gives approval for that. And he gets so much friendship because of his approval. He makes a lot of friends because of that. Man can join where God is separated, and man can separate what God has joined. They have no problem doing that because they're doing what they want to do. man can speak where God has remained silent. Yeah, they love the silence of God because it gives them permission to do whatever they want. But silence prohibits. It doesn't enjoin or allow. Silence prohibits. If God didn't say something about it, then we shouldn't be doing it, right? That's what God said about the priests in the Old Testament days. And talks about this in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. When he swore, Moses said nothing. Jesus was, is evident, he came from the tribe of Judah. And on earth, he cannot be a priest. On earth, he cannot be a priest because God spoke nothing in his law about Judah. He said the Levites are priests. And so when God specifies something, it eliminates everything else. When God told Noah to build the ark of gopher wood, Noah couldn't say, well, I think pine would be better. That ark would have sunk. Wouldn't even risen. It wouldn't even have the opportunity to rise with the water. It wouldn't have gotten off the ground. If he said balsa wood's a lot lighter or oak is a lot stronger, no. God gave the command to Noah, told him what material to use and the dimensions of that ark, and Noah did everything the Lord said. He said, you make it 300 cubits long. What if Noah decided, well, I'm just going to make it 299. That's good enough for me. No, that ark would not have gotten off the ground, and humanity would have been gone. Any way you look at it, God still is the ultimate ruler of this world and your life. No matter what doctrine you choose to follow of this world, you can follow any doctrine of this world faithfully. You know, there's a lot of people out there that follow the Catholic religion. Oh, they're so faithful in that, and yet they see all the corruption and all the sexual escapades of their priest, and they just turn their blind eye to it. They still want to remain faithful. And they say that there's millions of them on this earth, millions faithful to a false doctrine. That's not going to get them to heaven, folks. We ought to know that. All right, John 14, 26. Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit, sent by God, saw that they did things right according to God's standard of righteousness in the first century. When they converted all these people and they became Christians, in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, and in prayer. They were following by the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided them. And that's what Jesus said he would do. He would guide them into all truth. And the Holy Spirit, sent by God, moved individuals to put the will of God in written form. That's what we read there in 2 Peter 1, verses 21. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Bible is the result of the Holy Spirit's work. That's what we have. Nothing more and nothing less. Nothing was left out of it. We have the complete Word of God. So when we conform to the Bible, we are in conformity to the Holy Spirit. And the one who sent the Holy Spirit is God. That's where we want to be. We want to be in a right relationship with God. We need to be conforming to His rules. Jesus and the Holy Spirit helped the apostles and the writers of the New Testament to bring about the whole truth of God. Everything we need concerning salvation, He has given to us. All Scripture is inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And then, of course, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Everything pertaining to life and godliness, He has granted us through His divine mercy. John 17:20 says, in the prayer that Jesus said to his Father. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. When we see up there that first word, their word, the apostles are the they that is mentioned. Jesus said, you've given me those apostles. Now through their word, their teaching, their doctrine, the world may believe that I came and that you and I are one. Their word is the message found in the scriptures, the Holy Bible. The prayer of Jesus was for unity and uniformity, not for division, as we see in the denominational world. It's all divided. There's nothing about it. Now, they may slap hands on each other's back, and they may share pulpits out there, but they teach different doctrines. And one week, they may believe this doctrine. Next week, they just vote and just say, well, we're going to believe another doctrine. And that's what they do. If we read Ephesians 2, 13 through 21, we see several things here. That's talking about the fact where there was a dividing wall between the Gentiles and the Jews. And the Jews didn't mind that wall being there. They hated the Gentiles. But Paul says that Jesus broke down that barrier. That wall was a problem. That wall was enmity. That wall was hatred. That wall was division. Jesus said not to do that. Man in his arrogance and selfishness has placed walls of division. They didn't want to do what God wants to do, so they do their own. And anyone who tries to tell them they're wrong, they put up a wall. We don't want to listen to that. We're going to do it our way. Man has given us different names in this world. Man has given us different doctrines. Man has corrupted God's ways and placed millions of souls in danger of hell. Sadly, each individual is responsible to God, but if they keep following these false teachings and traditions, they do so to their own destruction. Now, we can warn them, but chances are they're just going to reject what we have to say, because what we have to say is what God says. And they've already told us they don't want to do that. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. What God says to us in his holy word, they're going to be there until time ends. Until Jesus comes again, until that day when the earth is destroyed, and then everybody appears before God. His word is constant, it's static, it's going to be there without question. And it doesn't matter if mankind decides to burn every Bible and destroy all the Bibles. The Word of God is still going to be there. And everybody is subject to what the Word of God says. Man constantly and continually changes their beliefs and practices. We see it all the time. They're always deciding for themselves what they think God is acceptable with. A lot of people, well, I'm just going to do this and God's just going to have to take it. And that's what they do. That's it. That's their attitude. Well, we're going to believe this and God's just going to accept us for it. And they deceive themselves. Often they decide based sometimes upon public opinion. Look at the changes that have taken place in so many religions in our generation alone. I mean, a lot of these groups have changed tremendously in just a few years. And how can man justify these changes? Because he wants to. Now, from God's point of view, he can't. He's not allowed to make changes. Because God said, my word is the standard you need to live by. And that's what we try and do here. We try and live by the standard God has given us. We don't go for all these denominational concepts, which may sound good, which may sound like comforting. They might be comfort doctrines, and we'll talk about one of those in the next few weeks. We'll talk about a comfort doctrine. But man can only do so in the futility of their own mind, because it's not going to change God one bit. Matthew 5:18. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now Jesus was talking about the Old Testament, the old scriptures, the law of Moses, the old covenant. He was talking about that, says it's just as constant now as it was in the day that it was written. It's not going to change until it has been fulfilled. And of course, just a few years later, Jesus fulfilled the law. So that law changed. Jesus established his own law. And we know that law does not change. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and having done so, he established his new covenant, and God's word has not changed. Man is the one who has changed. All the changes that man may produce, publish, or proclaim will not take away from the fact that God's law is our judge. And that's something we have to remember. We're going to be judged not by public opinion, not by our feelings, but we're going to be judged by the word of God. So we need to be prepared, folks. If we're not following the word of God to the best of our ability, we're not going to heaven. It's just that simple, and I don't think we've emphasized that enough, have we? No. If we don't follow God's word to the very best of our ability, we're not going to heaven. And sometimes this sounds so very strange, since many claim to uphold the Bible as the sole guide to God's salvation. You know, most of those denominations out there, you know, some just outright reject the Bible, consider it obsolete, not necessary anymore. Some treat it like love letters in the first century. Some treat it like it's just maybe a guide, but we don't have to follow it. But it's strange. You look at all their doctrines and creeds. Right after the line where we believe that God is God, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, they say we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Then their whole doctrine just cuts it off right there. They do what they want to do. 1 Peter 1:25, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Isaiah chapter 40 mentions that passage like the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. Peter was telling his people, the word of God is going to remain constant. It's never going to change. Mankind may change. Man's religions may change. But the word of God is not going to change. And we are reminded that the word of God is what's going to judge us. Forever is a long time. As long as time exists is how long forever exists. So therefore, since we will exist forever, we had better learn to respect his word in his way. We must also preach this truth. Every opportunity we get, we need to warn people. Tell them they've got to follow the Bible. You know, and some things that they follow the Bible because for that day, for the flavor of the week. Okay, that matches what we believe, so we'll take this part of the Bible. When their opinion changes, well, they just kind of ignore it. That's how false teaching works. That's how denominations work. But we must preach the truth, publicly, privately, in print. And I mean every one of us, all of us. All of us have contact with people in denominations. I imagine most people in this room are members of Facebook. You have people you contact with all the time. Some do, some don't. But if you have Facebook, preach the word. That doesn't mean you got to preach a whole sermon. Copy a sermon. I send out my sermons on Facebook. Copy and share it with others. Just write down scriptures. Record scriptures. Write them down and post them. Don't be afraid to do so. And it's amazing how some people, they'll send all sorts of political messages and all sorts of memes and all sorts of stuff like that. But when it comes to the Word of God, oh, I don't want people to think I'm religious or something. No. Don't be ashamed of Christ and his Word, because that's the only thing that's really true in this world. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. If there is only one body, as the Bible declares, then all others are wrong. And therefore, they're unacceptable to God. And we try and show that. They are unacceptable to God. What we must do is determine which body is the right body. The best way to do that is to follow the Bible. Let the Bible speak. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where it is silent. That's how we do it. We can start by Bible study and diligent effort to know God's law. And that's what we're talking about. This week and next week, we're going to finish up the section on true worship. Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The only true body are those who are in Christ. And the Bible tells us how to be in Christ. You're baptized into Christ. That's the only way. Those that teach the sinner's prayer do not involve baptism, and they say baptism doesn't do anything for you except get you wet. No, that's not what the Bible says. This means those who are in conformity to his teaching and his doctrines. That's the people who are in Christ. Now, you can be baptized and yet not live the life of a Christian. You're not in conformity to his teaching. You're not in conformity to his doctrine. So that's not going to be helpful for you. Those who live the name of Jesus, those ones who are in Christ, not just wear his name. There's a lot of people in this world we know wear his name. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. They talk about that all the time. A lot of people say, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church? Well, someplace that's not mentioned in the Bible. No, a true Christian is one who follows the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, who attends the church that belongs to him. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all have been made to drink of one Spirit. This shows how we enter this one body, the one body of the church, which is his body. And it's through baptism. We know that anyone who will obey God on his terms will be acceptable to him. Obey God. It does not matter what color they are, what language they speak, their social, economic status, or anything like that. Anyone who comes to God and does his will be saved. It's man who places barriers and divisions. God does not. God made his salvation available to all men. But when men put up walls and separate themselves from God, can't do anything for them. And God will not deny himself in order to be helping these who are not doing his will. In 1 John 3:4, taken from different translations here, if you can read that. All these are different versions, the King James, the New International, the New King James, New American Standard, and the Contemporary English Version. They all say the same thing. We still get the general idea that doing things differently from the way God specified is violation of his law. And that word is translated sin. Cannot deny that. And we can do this willfully or ignorantly. If you don't know what the Bible says, then chances are you're doing ignorant sin. If you know what the Bible says and you do this thing anyway, it's a willful sin. When we obey God's commands in the way he gave us, we are considered faithful to God. And that's what we all need to work on, is to stay faithful. Not just Sunday morning only Christians, but 24/7 Christians. That's what we need to be. That's what we encourage everyone to be. Denominationalism is wrong because it does not fit in with Bible teaching. We know that's the truth. And our hope is that people see the difference and seek to serve God in God's way. By obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, by doing those things He wants us to do, and to be faithful. Hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then live faithful, doing your best to serve Him and prove to the rest of this world that you are serving Jesus, whom you have allowed to be your Lord and Master and King. If you do things your way, you will be lost. If you do things the way you feel you want to do them, you will be lost. But when you do what God tells you to do, there'll be salvation, and it will be worth it to your soul. If you're subject to the invitation, we're going to invite you to come together while we stand and sing.